Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about how to pull themes from the gathering about the importance of community into building actual community in your ongoing youth ministry.
So many of you are familiar that the gathering had some sub-themes.
Yes.
We talked about those, hopefully repeated them enough over the time that your kids have been repeating them back, as well as some theological talking points that we hope that were highlighted every part of your day from your morning meeting all the way through your mass event. So one of those sub-themes in 2025 was that we endure as a people, which focused on our Christian community. And that Christian community was an important topic coming out of COVID, where so many communal ties had been disrupted. More studies have shown that the introduction of technology like smartphones has really rewired human connection and relationship. And despite being connected online, health officials have recognized that we live in an epidemic of loneliness.
And young Christians aren't immune to the situation. They face isolation in their own families, communities, schools, and churches. However, we have data and certainly stories of the impact of Christian community in families and churches. Young people appreciate a community who cares for them and shows up for them. And that happens in so many ways. And so often, too, it's a community that has stuck with them through trying times that makes an impact on their life.
So youth gatherings, as well as other ministry activities, kind of by their nature, foster these opportunities to learn about and to live out Christian community. So you got a chance to live very close quarters for some of you for several days there at the gathering. But you get to do that at camp and in other places as well. And those youth spend hours together on a bus in a hotel eating meals. And maybe you were really sick of each other by the end. but mostly coming together in our confession around Jesus with thousands of other young Christians. And that can be an amazing opportunity for those young people. And they see the beauty of Christian community in action in both what's happening in their youth group and the other youth groups around them. And we hope the gathering can be a catalyst for young people to learn about and appreciate Christian community in their local congregation and in their local context as well.
Ben, we are blessed that one of the gathering theological advisors was also doing a lot of his own thinking about Christian community and its importance in the life of the church. He added a lot of insight to the development on this theme and also spoke on it at the 2024 National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference.
So joining us today is Reverend Dr. Peter Nasker. He's an associate professor for practical theology and director of student life at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. He served a congregation in Minnesota before coming to the seminary. He has served on our theological advisory team for the last several gatherings. And if you read it, hopefully you did, he wrote our thematic paper. Thanks for joining us on the podcast again.
It's great to be back.
All right. So again, we're going to ask you this just for reminders if people haven't heard you on the podcast. I feel like this is maybe your third or fourth time.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Think of something new. We got to hear about you briefly in the intro, but tell us more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and things that bring you joy.
Well, I'll start with my family. That's youth ministry number one, I guess. I've got four
They're
kids.
They're all in youth ministry almost,
well,
right?
20 down to 14.
Wow.
So they were all down at the gathering, which was really cool.
Awesome.
This time. But we love family road trips. We actually got our youngest two to their 50th state.
Wow.
This year. We put lots of miles on our family car.
Cool.
But so we've been doing that. But what's been kind of fun is my kids have, the older two especially, have started working at some of the Lutheran outdoor ministry camps. And they've really gotten into learning like camp songs and playing the guitar and that kind of stuff. And my second child, my son, actually just got a banjo.
Nice.
All right. They're between the piano and the guitar and the banjo, it's a hoot. So at any rate, you know, my involvement with young people these days begins in the house. But of course, you know, teaching at the seminary, a lot of these people were not long ago young people, and so there's a great desire among a lot of them to engage people who are younger. They didn't grow up in a culture in which the church was established and privileged like many of us did. And so they've got a unique perspective.
Speaking of those seminarians, what did you love about helping them prepare for their work, whether it's in their larger church perspective or maybe, again, as they're starting to try to invest in young people as they go out as pastors and deaconesses and others in our church body?
Yeah, so they... I'll describe a class I teach. It's the fullest class I teach. And it's called Confirmation and Christian Formation. And we take a really close look at the history of confirmation the present state of youth ministry, and then what might a future look like. Generally, at least the more I talk to people across the spectrum in our synod, across the country, one common theme that comes up over and over again is that people are dissatisfied with the way confirmation is conducted. We kind of organize that program and that system for a culture in which Christianity was much more dominant. And now in a different age, that's become a real challenge. And so a lot of these seminarians come looking to do better, frankly, with, I mean, you guys know our confirmation retention rates are abysmal. And the students know that anecdotally, and then also I share within the stats to make sure they see how serious the problem is. I quote from your guys' book all the time. I mean, the tragic fact that 2 out of 10 kids we baptize are still in our church when they're 18. So what that means for seminary students is they're highly motivated to ask deep questions about what we're doing, how we're doing it. And that gives me a chance to expose them to some real substantive youth ministry studies that sometimes are from outside our synod, but are really helpful to reevaluate what we're doing, and then to take those insights and to say, okay, how can we in our circles, in our synod, learn from those studies and then do a better job equipping young people for life today.
Great. So in connection to the gathering, you highlighted this back. I went back and looked at it, and it's in the thematic paper pretty heavily, that this emphasis on Christian community. And then you got to see it kind of come to life as you were at the gathering and seeing how it all played out. What was a highlight for you in seeing it kind of come from, you know, the beginning conversation about the theme of endure all the way to actual kids on the ground?
Yeah, I'll share two highlights. One is kind of more meta, you might say, and one is more concrete. The one that's more meta, you might say, is, so we work on this theological study 2 years ago, right? And then you kind of hand it off, and you see people, you see a community, multiple communities of people take it up and run with it. And so I'm sitting there at the gathering observing, you know, everything from sessions to the convention floor to Bible studies to mass events. And I'm just kind of marveling at the community of the gathering planners. That these gatherings don't take place without an incredible investment of a lot of people pouring their specific gifts into it. And so that's just kind of really cool to see. I'm not nearly as creative as most people. So that was kind of neat to see. A more concrete manifestation of this was, I mean, you guys know this, and probably a lot of the hearers know about that. We had some protesters at the at the gathering from a kind of a legalistic church outfit, and we tried to help the adult leaders usher the kids into the convention center without distraction from these protesters. That they wouldn't be an obstacle, or it wouldn't be something that could cause a problem. And I'll give it to you guys in the youth ministry office for putting together this really great plan with volunteers who, from what I understand, I wasn't there, but formed kind of a tunnel and just cheered as kids came in and then kind of drowned out the protesters, it sounded like. And I think from what I understand, most of the kids never even knew the protesters were there. And so what was really cool were the Bible study leaders in one of the Bible studies point out, we're studying, of course, Hebrews 12. And since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and they helped the kids in that Bible study realize that maybe you didn't even notice it, but there was a present cloud of witnesses who was surrounding you as you came in here today. And then the Bible study leaders prayed for this other outfit that was protesting, and they helped the kids see that this great cloud that of course goes all the way back to, you know, Abraham and all the way back to Abel in Hebrews 11, that great cloud that carries all the way forward to the present day, where we're not in this alone. And that was such a concrete example of the community caring for its young people.
It was really great to see it. You know, on our side, we talk about our church body so blessed with so many people who care for young people in their own congregation, but also the LCMS. And it was just another way to see a community surround our young people and show their care for them. It was really great to see. It was amazing. Love to see that. And certainly, as you saw in the Bible study, you talk about walking around the gathering and seeing the planning teams, that took your paper, took the other theological reflections that we had and put those into action through the different parts. I love to see, when we talk about this Christian community, to see how sessions, Bible studies, mass events reflected, you know, one of those key sub-themes that we had of that, sometimes, as we're going to get into, difficult topic around Christian community, but the importance of it certainly in our lives. One of those difficult things sometimes is that we often would talk about this, that sometimes it's the baptized, our own brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe even our own flesh and blood, who challenge us to bear fruit, the fruit of patience. Just maybe a question to start with, how do we prepare young people for the endurance required to remain in Christian community? And maybe where do we point them to understand that what we share in Christ, that unity that we have and that love that transcends our differences? And that can be certainly for our peers, I think, at a youth gathering too. It's that peer-to-peer, friendship-to-friendship, but then also thinking intergenerationally into the whole church around that cloud of witness concept that we were able to point to in Hebrews.
Yeah, the this is where, you know, I really appreciate Lutheran theology. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple of concepts and ideas that are really helpful on this front. The whole concept that we're sinner and saint, mm-hmm, at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's possible to talk about Christian community in sort of Pollyannish, mm-hmm, terms,
right, mm-hmm,
and to say, oh, it's just wonderful, we're all going to sing Kumbaya, right? And unfortunately, not everybody has that experience at,
right,
church.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, nobody has that experience, at, you know, absolutely at church, because we're all sinners, mm-hmm, forgiven, but also still sinful. And so I think this is where our theology, first of all, it really matters for helping young people live out their faith, that they know their community is not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be times where it lets them down. This is also where a Lutheran emphasis on repentance,
mm-hmm,
to me is such an important thing. And it's not repentance in some kind of transactional, mechanical, you made a mistake, say you're sorry, okay, sorry, I forgive you, okay, now everything's fine. But repentance in kind of a bigger sense, mm-hmm, where we're constantly turning away from kind of our focus on ourselves. We're constantly turning away from our individualism toward community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, you help kids see that the older people in the congregation need them as much as they need the older people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you read the epistles and you have Paul talking all over the place about considers others more, mm-hmm, important than yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so even as the church struggles to be kind of the community it should be, we practice things like repentance and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't set up our kids to have expectations that are unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
We're a broken people,
mm-hmm,
and that's why we long for the Lord to return. But we're broken together,
mm-hmm,
and so we got to accentuate both of those,
mm-hmm,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I love this idea, and we heard it in a couple of different places, right? That like, just because the church is this community, and we think about the cloud of witnesses, but like those were imperfect people. This is an imperfect community. So for youth leaders, especially if a young person has, maybe you talked about confession and absolution, been injured by the church or felt hurt by the church, how do youth leaders then maybe help youth understand and value church community, even when it's not easy, even when it's not simple?
I think it actually gets to a real foundational, it gets to the very foundations of the Christian faith. If we help people understand that, as the scriptures say, to be a Christian is to belong to a people,
mm-hmm,
that's by definition what it is to be a Christian. You believe in Jesus because of the power of the Spirit. You believe in Jesus because of the power of the Spirit. I believe in Jesus by the power of the Spirit. That means the Spirit, there's one Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There's one,
mm-hmm,
baptism. There's,
mm-hmm,
one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm,
from the very beginning, this is where sometimes I'll use a couple fancy terms here, sorry. Our ecclesiology sometimes needs to catch up with our soteriology.
Mm-hmm.
That is, our understanding of the church needs to catch up with our understanding of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as salvation into an individual existence.
Mm-hmm.
We are saved into a people. This is the story of salvation, as God chooses a people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelites, and then he grafts us into these people through Jesus. And so kind of the very foundational piece, Juliana, is that we help people see from the very beginning, being part of the community is one and the same with being Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we're not, you know, it's not really an option to disassociate from the church, because that's fundamental to what it means to be,
mm-hmm,
Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and that's something I think we could highlight with the baptism, with the means of grace, mm-hmm. not just in baptism does God wash me, he adopts me mm-hmm. With the Lord's Supper. Not only do I recognize his real presence, I also recognize the community mm-hmm. around mm-hmm. me who I'm called to serve with and suffer with these things. So I think even when we talk about means of grace, salvation, there's a corporate dimension to that that I think we should be focusing on from the very get-go with our kids. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think that helps our youth, especially as they start to those transitions out of youth ministry, mm-hmm. Where there's maybe this very clear understanding of who are my peers and who are the friends that I have at church, mm-hmm. and into that adult relationship and that adult community, which can be a little more difficult, I think. It's not an easy transition for them to be able to say, like, no, but these are still my people as I leave my home church and find new churches, or as I transition, right? How do I help them to identify the value in that?
Yeah, and I think some of the work you guys have done with Seven Habits of Congregations, Healthy Ministry Congregations, Youth Ministry Congregations, to give kids leadership roles, mm-hmm. and responsibility already even when they're younger, and help them to the concept of intergenerational ministry is trendy, but it's trendy for a reason, mm-hmm. Because we are an intergenerational people, mm-hmm. and you learn to forgive and to repent to one another by being in life together with one another.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think also is that way to mold people in humility too, have those kind of, for your own self, to have that self-reflection, to hear the stories of other people, but then also to be able to have that, you know, kind of mirror that you have by seeing other people in the faith and be able to have those conversations. You have, I know, at National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference, and certainly as you were preparing a lot of the theological stuff, helped us to talk about maybe a situation we're in our society right now, that in many ways we've seemed to have hit kind of a peak of societal isolation and loneliness, despite some of the other connection we have maybe with technology. And we also have certainly that, as though we feel at a peak, it's always been a part maybe of an American culture. There's been the rugged individualism, there's self-sufficiency that's so valued, there's individual autonomy that's often so much a part of our culture. In our context, we also, too, are tempted to use our freedom for our own personal ends, not to serve others, against what Paul and other places of Scripture has taught us about what it means to be Christian. So how do we help young people and others understand the cultural voice that calls us to individualism, to understand that appropriately? And how do we rightly teach from Scripture as well the important role of Christian community, along with we want to help young people grow in their individual faith and maturity as they are now starting to maybe, again, make that transition from high school into other parts of their life?
I actually think this is probably the most fundamental problem or challenge, I'll say, of the church today. We have a lot of, there's a lot of challenges that are out there. You know, people are worried about moral decay, mm-hmm. and they're worried about kind of an AI, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. kind of questions of identity in terms of gender, this kind of stuff. And these are all important challenges. But I actually think the most fundamental challenge of our time is this, the individualism mm-hmm. that fills the air that we breathe mm-hmm. and the water that we drink. I mean, this goes back all the way to at least Descartes. Mm-hmm. We're talking mm-hmm. 16th century, mm-hmm. You know, who locates certainty in the individual. Mm-hmm. Take Thomas Hobbes and John Locke, that voluntary consent mm-hmm. from the individual is the bedrock of a society. Mm-hmm. You mentioned rugged individualism. You have this 400-500 years mm-hmm. of inculcating an individualistic mindset. You know, people are rightly pointing out there's a book written called The Lonely Century. Mm. Just came out a couple years ago. Mm. Talked about how you can rent a friend. It's come to that.
Yeah.
But we got this loneliness epidemic that a lot of people have pointed out. But just recently, I've been reading a few things that have added a little nuance to this. And maybe it's a loneliness epidemic, but actually, we're kind of antisocial. Mm. We're choosing this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You look at the stats from sociologists and when they talk about youth behaviors and the lack of social connections mm-hmm. and decisions that young people are making. I mean, in some ways it's great. There's a little bit less risky behavior mm-hmm, out there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're not drag racing down the middle of Main mm-hmm, Street. Mm-hmm. But they're just choosing to be on their phones. Mm-hmm. And this is a fundamental, it's kind of the chickens coming home to roost. Mm-hmm. We've lived in individual times for centuries, but now it is so possible to not engage other people. And this is I think, going to be a serious challenge for the church to point out how that is not the Christian existence. Mm-hmm. Independence is an American ideal. It's not a Christian ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And we get so confused sometimes by thinking, you know, what's good about America and in a political system. There's no such thing as independence mm-hmm. as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are in this for the long haul, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. we mourn mm-hmm. together, we rejoice. We are members of one another. That's not independence. And so I think for Christians, especially in the West, this is a serious challenge that we're kind of, it's obvious when we address specific little issues, but at the bedrock, it's yeah. this individualism.
Well, I think you touched on something that I was actually listening to some sessions from the gathering, and we were talking about technology and AI. And like one of the concerns I have around this is that, you know, like it was kind of like the rent-a-friend thing, is that like the AI friendships is that really basically you're molding a friend that you just perfectly want. And some of course you want that close friendship, but like part of the challenge is like, relationships are hard, and I feel like sometimes we don't want to do hard things. And so, like, of course, I want a friend who's going to tell me I'm great, who's never going to talk back to me, he's going to want to do exactly what I want to do. And so, we don't want to do the hard work of serving somebody else or to be open and patient with somebody. And so, sometimes I get nervous about that side of the AI technology when we're starting to hear about these friendships that are coming, relationships that are being built with AI. It's almost a you know, just reflecting myself almost rather than the beauty of the mosaic of community and things that can come from that.
This is why we have to be really careful when we talk about the need for community. And this is why I'm starting to wonder, I mean, I use this language a lot about the problem being loneliness. If the problem is loneliness, then the solution is, well, I got to find some community. Mm-hmm. But if the problem is that we're kind of being antisocial,
yep. mm-hmm.
or that we don't want to be in community with people because mm-hmm. it's hard,
right.
because people are a pain in the rear, then the solution is not, well, you need more community. The solution is we need to kind of repent of our antisocialness.
Right.
That it's not just we can't solve this problem just by providing the kind of community that you can get at the gym or that you can get mm-hmm. on a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the body of Christ we're talking about, and that means we are going to need to be more, frankly, repentant to one another. Mm-hmm. We need to be more forgiving of one another. I think about the means of grace, of course, or incredible gift of God to the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the Small Called Articles, sorry to get nerdy again on here with the confessions, in the Small Called Articles, Luther lists out five means of the gospel. And we often do well to highlight baptism, Lord's Supper, absolution, preaching. But the fifth one that Luther highlights that I think is increasingly important mm-hmm. is the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and mm-hmm. sisters. The people of God holding each other accountable, mm-hmm. the people of God forgiving each other's sins, mm-hmm. the people of God reminding one another of who they are and whose they are. That means of the gospel is really important, I think, for us all to lift up mm-hmm. to form communities who speak of the things of God mm-hmm. to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be really one of those interesting marks, if you will, of the church in this society, I think, right now, to be like, to one, impress upon our own Christians of the need for community, and then to be that community into the world that can show the beauty of that forgiveness and love that can come from that.
Yeah, and frankly, when the community fails us, to stick with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes to have to speak hard truth to people in the community and say, hey, this is not right anymore. We need to do better here.
Yep.
Well, and to tie back to when you're talking about technology, I've seen some really interesting data lately where the number of young people who are identifying that social media could potentially be bad for them mm-hmm. is on the rise. But it's actually much more likely for them to say that it's bad for other people their age, but not necessarily for them, right? Again, unsurprised that adolescents are more aware of other people than themselves. But then also this idea that when we ask them what they want to do, they want to be outside, they want to be face-to-face relationships, they want to be in community, but what they actually do is very different. And I think part of that is not just society, but are the adults around them, are the people around them modeling what community mm-hmm. looks like for mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. right? And so I think what places like The Gathering give them a chance to model, see adults modeling community for them or for their church to model what it looks like to be in face-to-face community with each other. So where do you stand on the technology bit. You think there's been kind of a net negative, net positive when it comes to Christian community and that technology?
Well, I got to say I'm a fan of technology. I like books. I like my backpack. I like my well, I drove here. I like my car. So technology, I think we got to be a little careful not to just be down on technology, because of course technology is any sort of tool that helps us live more effectively. Of course, you're talking about digital technology and the challenges of this particular age. And I think that we have to have a nuanced approach to these things, where we recognize the incredible gift and value that digital technology brings us. I was reading another article about these things not long ago, and you know, parents today I can speak from personal experience. I'm more connected to my kids who are gone at college than my parents were ever connected to me. And so there's this, so a guy named Derek Thompson wrote this article called The Antisocial Century, which is really helpful. And he pointed out there's a, there's kind of three rings of relationships, and digital technology has strengthened two of those rings and obliterated one of them. The inner ring, your closest people, technology, digital technology has strengthened that, because you can stay tight and you can communicate all the time, and it's a wonderful gift. And so people are closer. The outermost ring is also pretty effective because you can find affinity groups. You can be connected. I mean, who's listening to this podcast right now that you and I have never met, but they're interested in youth ministry. And so now we're starting to form a community here. So the outer ring, people that you would never have contact with, that's strengthened. What's missing is the middle ring. And so whether this be neighborhood or I'm going to suggest even congregations where there's people in your congregation that you don't even know who they are because we're so engrossed in our digital technology that we don't sit on our front porches. We don't engage our communities very much. And it's this middle ring where we really have some work to do. When it comes to the technology question, I want to have a little bit a nuanced approach to this. It's not bad or good. It's kind of both. This is where I find if you guys who are listening to this haven't read Jonathan Haidt's book yet, The Anxious Generation, you need to. He's done a lot of really helpful work for all of us. I also would really recommend Andy Crouch's book, The TechWise Family. Have you guys seen that? That gives some. What I really like about Crouch's book is that it gives it. The whole premise of the book is to keep digital technology in its proper place, and it's not to get rid of it completely, but it is to put some. To have habits in the home that keep it in its place. And so that kind of thing I think would be really helpful to talk with parents, with families, and as a congregation.
And I think really appreciate what Juliana said before too. Like we love the wisdom of young people themselves who are already, and it's again, like, they're not like total anti-technology, get rid of it, but like they get the boundaries of it too. And like they're setting it for themselves about like just even coming into the gathering. We talked about getting rid of some printed materials we were gonna have, and we heard from number of adult leaders like my kids aren't on smartphones anymore, and they don't want to come to a conference and have it be on a smartphone because they want to actually be focused on what they're doing. So great to hear again. I mean, young people with the maturity that I'm sure are coming around from communities that are having them ask those hard questions and have them think about it.
Well, you're so right about this. Ask, and this is what it would be great. I think every congregation to ask their young people to participate in this conversation, because we just don't know what it's like to grow up in a digital age. We didn't do it, and so to get there, we kind of actually have to trust that. The Spirit actually does reside in the baptized children of God, even when they're younger, and that maybe they have some wisdom that they could share with us and we could learn something from them. I only say that theoretically, but
children might want to record that and share that with you periodically.
That's right. I'm sure.
Well, and all this stuff, you know, talking about that is that certainly we look at, you know, time of adolescence presents certainly a unique opportunity for young people to grow either deeper into or sometimes further away from Christian community. They're starting to gain independence, maybe be able to drive now. They're taking on jobs. They're participating in more and more extracurricular activities, so they're busier. Things are starting to shift relationally a little bit. And some may begin to distance themselves in healthy or unhealthy ways from parents and their influence as well. So there's a lot of more freedom going on, and certainly they're starting to self-select communities maybe a little. So you're talking about those rings, is that those rings are changing maybe a little bit, and as they go through life, changes in life. So we kind of feel like sometimes maybe we kind of pull youth in two directions. On one hand, we encourage them to grow as humble Christians, relying on God and valuing the people around them. On the other hand, we're also pushing them to be independent and responsible and to pursue excellence. How can we maybe meaningfully engage with young people during this critical time, teaching and modeling the importance of belonging to an invested in Christian community, despite certain these other goals we want for them as they mature in their life?
I think maybe that last word you said there is particularly helpful, mature, to think about what it means to mature. In our American context, to mature is to leave home, to be on your own, to take care of yourself, kind of the rugged individualism thing. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to mature. For Christians, to mature is to grow closer to the people around you. Not just the people around you, the Christians around you, the Christian community. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at Hebrews for this gathering, and you know, thinking about Hebrews 10, 25, where the author encourages Christians not to give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Yep. It does actually, I think, require that we take a second look at how we talk about why we even go to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're tempted because we're so grateful for the wonderful gifts of God and worship that we're tempted to say, well, you should go to church because God gives you these good gifts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's why we're telling people to go to church and be part of the community, to get stuff from God, and that's kind of self-serving. We don't go to church to get stuff, even the wonderful gifts of God. We go to church because we belong to our Heavenly Father, and our brothers and our sisters need us there as much as we need them. And sometimes the good gifts are going to be overshadowed by the burden and the pain it is to be with these people, but they're still family. And so I think it would be probably a little bit more helpful to say, okay, kids, you're going off to college. Why are you going to go to church? Well, first of all, you're a Christian, and that means you belong to the people of God. Kind of like when you're a member of my home and we have dinner at night. I don't care if you're not hungry. I don't care if you don't like what we're having for dinner. We have meals of family, so you come down to the table. And that's just how it is. You honor your mother by eating whatever she made, or honor your dad for eating what he made. You know, you come to church because this is what the people of God do. And God is so good that even when we come to it for just because that's who we are, he continues to give us these gifts. But we don't, man, help us from the idea that we go to church to get stuff from God. That's a therapeutic, consumeristic, kind of self-serving reason. And if we can help kids from the very beginning realize that wherever they're at, they belong to this community and find the community around you, then we'll help. I think we can help make them a little bit uncomfortable if they're not part of that community when they leave home.
So we've been talking about all of these theological things and been wrestling with them since the thematic meeting, know, back at 2 and some change years ago, right? And are hopefully people have heard that in the preparatory process, but really got a lot of this conversation at the gathering. So how might youth leaders build on some of the things we've been talking about, some of the things that happened at the gathering, to further draw their youth into their congregation community? What does that look like practically?
Okay, I'm going to suggest three things and maybe a fourth. All right, but I'll suggest at least three things. First of all, I'm going to suggest that we be honest with young people. Be honest with them about the challenges. I mean, the whole concept of endurance is only necessary because there's something hard.
Right.
And if I hope the gathering communicated this, and I hope every leader back home will communicate this, just be honest with our kids. It's hard. A life in a fallen world is hard. Secondly, I want to help people realize that to be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into the people of God. And this is why in our preaching and our teaching, we got to help people realize the whole story of salvation that goes all the way back to Abraham. I mean, remember, God promised to Abraham that he would be a blessing, that God would bless all nations through him and his family, Jacob, Israel, the people of God. And when we're baptized, we are brought into we become part of this people. And so there's the corporate dimension to the Christian life. I'd rather us never talk about, I mean, individual salvation, yes, it comes to individuals, but when it comes to an individual, that individual is no longer ever just on their own. Mm-hmm. So the corporate nature of the Christian life, I think, can be emphasized. And then, of course, the foundation is you keep the promise of God in Christ central to everything. The burden here is that we feel like it's, you know, all on us now to do this. But the gift of forgiveness that comes through other people is always pure and free, and it's the foundation of everything we do. And so this is, it's not our job to build community or even to restore community. God does that in Christ. Mm. We simply receive the community he's given us with gratitude and with a little bit of work to do. But keeping the promise of Christ central, that gospel that enlivens us. I guess a fourth thing is I think it's really helpful to involve young people in congregational ministry in substantive ways. I know you guys have talked about this before too, but I was just thinking about I was thinking about my home congregation. My home congregation, we have kids who are in grade school or acolytes. That's pretty standard. We have kids who are in middle school and high school. They sing and play instruments in quartets and duets. They play, even the little ones pluck out pieces of piano during communion. Our usher crew is, with the exception of our head usher, they're all high school kids. We've got high school kids reading the lessons during worship. The young people in our congregation are owning the ministry. They've been given responsibility, and they, one of the most delightful experiences I had was with my boys when they were solving usher problems, 16 and 18 years old. Something was going on with the ushers, and they took care of it. I thought, nah, they're important to the community. The community is not just telling them they're important. They're giving them kind of the kinds of responsibilities that demonstrate they're important. And I think that's a really practical way that we can be community, is to give our young people a voice and good work to do, and then and actually treat them like fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
Important conversation for us to continue to have, and we hope that this is helpful for youth leaders. But thanks for helping walk us through some more of this as we continue to think about beyond those 5 days and into the future as we develop youth ministry in that Christian community.
Thank you guys for what you're doing. This is good stuff.
Thank you. I think the youth gatherings always had usually as some sort of sub theme, maybe that has focused on Christian community. Certainly we talk about this a lot in the context of youth ministry. I feel, I think because Peter touched on it, some of the things societally that are going on, technology and things like it just seemed to even be more like a heightened subtopic we wanted to bring up around endurance. And certainly look at the book of Hebrews too, where it just allowed us to go deep into that, but opening up the scriptures and other places too, to understand the cloud of witnesses, the saints that have gone before us, people that are with us now, and certainly as we look to the future too. So it was just such a great theme. I thought that got brought up in a lot of different contexts at the gathering, and certainly hopefully it's one too that young people are talking about, that our adult leaders are able to engage in that conversation about the importance of community that God has placed us in at their churches.
And you know, the practicality of being able to learn about community at a time where you are in a very intense moment of community.
Right.
That you are maybe getting to know the adults and the youth in your youth group in a new and different way that you haven't had the time to do before. And experiencing the ups and downs of community in a really practical way. I think that helps us cement a lot of our understanding of what that looks like when we're modeling it and learning about it in multiple places at the same time. And it's one of the joys of being at the gathering.
Right. I think it's our process. Some of the best conversations we had, sometimes there's a lot of laughter and maybe some joking about it, but was around that endurance that it takes to remain in the community. Like, how do we help that when it is, I feel like so much, it's so easy now for us to self-select, for us to be individualistic. We can stay in our rooms and stay in our homes and not engage with people. You know, we talked about the technology and just want to have people that just are just like us, and where Christian community calls us into that deeper love. And that also then, what's great about it, it teaches more about the love God has for us in Jesus. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us because he loves us. And in the same way, a part of a Christian community, we can have people who maybe different from us. We may have some disagreements about a lot of other things, but we have unity in Jesus and unity in his scripture that allows us to go deeper into relationship and care for one another. And I think that's just a beautiful thing that Christian community allows us to do. And we hope the gathering was a little part of that, but certainly as we bring that back home with us too.
Yeah, this idea that that community is something that I'm not building. It's a yes. gift yep. that I get mm-hmm. And one that I have that I don't get to shake easily, right? Mm-hmm. The way that we teach our young people to think about and to value and to be a part of Christian community, I just so appreciate, you know, the conversation today about really talking about how do we help teach that and mm-hmm. what are the ways in which we have the framework to teach that that then helps us, helps young people to engage in community differently and more mm-hmm. biblically as they move forward in life and mm-hmm. as they transition into new things.
And I hope too, like one of those things that we can always do, I think we talk about a lot of different contexts and whether it was connections at the gathering, LCMSU at the gathering, other ways that we were pointing young people to future vocations is to help think about that future community that like it right. doesn't end with graduation from high school. And whether it's, if you're staying close to home, we're still here. Church is still right. here. We want you engaged. We need you engaged. This is the place for you. But then also, as there maybe are movement away from home, how do we help them make that mm-hmm. step to the next Christian community, whether it's on campus, military service, new careers, new relationships, yeah. as they continue to speak of that importance that maybe is not always easy seen, but yet still because it is a gift. How do we help them understand that and find those communities for them?
Yeah, I think about in the youth booth, we had this great map that somebody mm-hmm. from our office designed that had a mark for every church in the LCMS mm-hmm. and then every campus ministry. And what a great visual that was for young people to be able to say, like, wherever you're going, we are there. Mm-hmm. Your people mm-hmm. are there. Mm-hmm. The people that are part of the church that you were baptized into are there. And that community is waiting for you. They're waiting for you to be a part of their community, their congregation, as you transition to whatever comes next. And so hopefully the gathering was a place where they got to explore that and really think through mm-hmm. that. And so as adults are thinking through that, some closing questions for you to consider. How are you reflecting on how the gathering maybe helped you to build relationships and communities in your youth ministry?
How can you find ways to speak honestly and scripturally about the beauty of Christian community and the endurance sometimes required to live in it?
And then how are you helping youth to think about how being a Christian puts them into community now and throughout their lives? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you continue to build on what God did at the gathering and help youth to value ongoing meeting together and valuing Christian community in your congregation.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.